Well, thank you very much. The issue of the Bible is pretty important, amen. Dr. Surratt gives me encouragement for the fact that I believe you went to Central Seminary, and were you taught all that about the right text there? I have a son-in-law who just got his doctorate degree from that same institution, but he hasn't seen the light yet, amen. I'm praying that he will, but how can you translate the scriptures if you don't know what to translate from? Where do you begin? But that's another subject. I'd ask you tonight to turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Anybody here serve in the military? Would you raise your hand? Amen. A few. You know what it means to hurry up and wait, don't you? Hurry up and wait. We're going to see a young man that learned that lesson about hurrying up. He hurried up and then he waited. There was this time in the history of Israel, you will recall that David fled the city of Jerusalem because his own son Absalom had rebelled against him and had declared himself king. And there was a battle that ended it. And you remember the story of Absalom being caught by his head in an oak tree. And in fact, I heard a brother teaching on that lesson, that passage this morning. And it's interesting to think, was he hung by the hair or by the head or by the jaw, or did he get his head caught? But at any rate, he was hung there and the mule walked on. I had one doctrinal question I wanted to ask. I asked the brother that taught. I said, did they prosecute the mule for leaving the scene of the accident? But there was the message needed to be sent, and Joab needed a messenger. Let's begin reading in verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. And Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate under the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. Well, not necessarily. And Ahimaaz called and said unto him, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, Tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, Now remember that David had commanded his three generals to deal kindly with his son. And David wanted to win the battle, but he didn't want anything bad to happen to his son. And the king said unto Cushi, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to ask this evening that you would help us and guide us, Lord, and we just pray that this passage of Scripture may encourage us and it may instruct us, and that you might be honored and glorified. We pray, Father, for this congregation and for what you're doing in the lives of each one of us. And Father, as always, we pray for laborers because we know the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Bless tonight in this message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question is, which is more important, speed or preparation? The story is about two messengers that went out that day. One delivered the message and the other didn't. That is what is happening today in missions. There are those going out, but not all of them are delivering the message. And that's a sad thing. Some really look good as they go out, but that doesn't count. Looks isn't the issue. But let's look at the three people in this story, and we'll make an application as it relates today to missions. I'm concerned about missions and what we are doing and what we are accomplishing. I'm especially concerned about those who are ineffective at delivering the message, and we'll mention a few ways as we have time why that might be happening. But first of all, let's look at Ahimaaz. I'm going to call him the persistent. He's the missionary. He's the young missionary that has a burning desire to get out there and deliver a message. Well, really, I think all he wanted to do was run and maybe show off. But for the sake of our message tonight, we're going to say that he had this desire, and he did. He wanted to deliver the message. He had good intentions. He had many good qualities. Let's look at some of the good qualities he had. In verse 19... Now, you're going to have to read between the lines, but it says that he had a good education. Why do we say that? Well, look who his father was. His father was Zadok, the high priest. I believe that Ahimaaz had been taught the word of God. He knew what the Bible said. He knew what the law of God said. He knew about the priesthood and the sacrifices. He understood these things. Our missionaries need good education. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. You've got to know what you believe. You've got to know the message before you can ever deliver it. And so this is very necessary. We often talk to young people that are interested in BBTI, and I ask them the question, do you plan to go to Bible college? Because if you do, we suggest that you do that first and then come to us afterwards so that the technical linguistic training you get will be able, you'll be able to put it to practice sooner as you go to the field. And so we encourage young people to go to Bible college and know for sure what they believe and have some discipline and have a good education. I believe also another good quality that he had was he was willing. He was willing to go. He was anxious to go. He didn't wait for someone to appoint him or call him. He volunteered. I know that we can, argue about the call to the mission field or can you volunteer for the mission field? But you know what bothers me is that we have a world out there, probably half of the 7 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And we sit back here and we're so concerned about making a mistake, maybe going to the mission field if we shouldn't. I'm saying we need to start taking some chances, amen? Maybe we need to stop playing it safe and get some people out to the field. We need people who are willing. I know that you're not going to send them out unprepared, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But folks, what would it be like to live and die and never hear the name of Jesus Christ? And then go out into eternity like that. We need some people who are just willing to go. Just surrender. People say, oh, I've never been called. Well, have you ever surrendered? Have you ever begged God to call you? Have you ever asked God to show you and made yourself available? I asked somebody if they'd ever thought about going to the mission field. And I said, you wouldn't be a very good Christian if you haven't at least thought about it. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? Well, Ahimaaz was willing. He was willing to go and he was going to get out there and he was courageous. Let's give him credit for that. He was courageous. There were still many enemy soldiers out there. And I'm sure they were not happy about the way the battle was going. So Ahimaaz was putting himself at risk to go out there and perhaps go through those enemy soldiers. The mission field's a dangerous place. Just down the road from where we started a church in Mexico, just maybe 200, 300 feet from where our church was, there's a little seafood restaurant. I've eaten in there. One day someone came in there and killed 8 people at one time. I mean, it's just terrible. But you know, there's a lot of dangers out there. You pray for your missionaries. I mean, there's a lot of dangers, not just the dangers of violence. It's dangerous to on deputation. A missionary lost his wife just a few weeks ago in an automobile accident on deputation. But he was courageous. He was ambitious. He wasn't lazy. He said, let me run. He was willing to run. He was not lazy. He was a very ambitious person. I believe he was a spiritual person. He said in verse 19 that he wanted to tell the king the tidings how that the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. He wanted to tell about what Jehovah had done. He was spiritual. And we need spiritual missionaries. And I believe we have a lot of them. But may I say, spirituality is not necessarily going to make a successful missionary. I mean, it's the first and the most important thing, of course. But spirituality will not always make them effective as a communicator of the gospel. He was persistent. Now remember, he's a missionary. He is trying to convince the pastor, Joab, to let him run. You ever meet any like that? Some of them you have to hold back, I'm sure. I think of Brother Tim when he was at BBTI. Tim never walked anywhere. He ran. He was always just like that. I hope he still is. Amen. But he was persistent. He was, surely he'll make a good missionary. He'll make a good messenger. He's so dedicated. He wants to get there. And that's what missionaries need to show when they're on deputation. We don't want to show, but we want to see their heart. We want to see that attitude. We had a young man that just graduated last year from BBTI, and the first time I met him, just about, he came to the church and he came up to give a testimony. And he didn't just walk up. He just like he couldn't wait to get to that microphone and tell what God has laid on his heart and how determined he is to get there. And he is, and he's doing real well. But you know, this is what we call deputation. Do you know what the word deputation means? I guess I used it for years and I never really knew what it meant. To deputize someone means to appoint someone to do something for you. So as a church, you deputize missionaries to go to the field for you. That's what it's all about. They can't do it without you. And yet, the missionary has to convince the church that he can get the job done. And that's what Ahimaaz is saying. He's just saying over and over, let me run. I can do it. I know I can do it if you just give me a chance. And so we like to see that. Missionaries are in a hurry. And they should be. Amen? There's people out there where they're going that need what they have. But the question is, which is more important, speed or preparation? Also, he was fast. In verse 23, it says that he overran Cushi. Cushi was running, but Ahimaaz, he was a runner. This fellow was really fast. Now, slow is not a virtue. Missionaries should be in a hurry, amen? But I'm afraid some of them return faster than they get there. I was in a church that supported us since about 1974 down in Texas, not too far from where we're located in Bowie, Texas. And there was a new pastor, a young pastor, and I don't know, he invited me up just to give a testimony and tell what was going on at BBTI. And I just started talking a little bit, and there's a young lady down there. It was his wife. I didn't know that. And as I'm just talking about culture and the difficulty of the field and this and how we need preparation, she's shaking her head like that. And I thought, this girl knows something. And I made the statement, I wouldn't have said that in a million years if I'd have realized the situation I was in. But you know, we sometimes put our foot in our mouth. And I said, sometimes missionaries spend more time on deputation than they do on the field. And that's the truth, and it's sad. And I don't think, they certainly don't intend that to happen. Afterwards, this young pastor told me, he said, Brother Rex, you were talking about me. He said, I don't know how long it took him to get there, but he said they went out to work with the Navajo people. I'm sure he raised support. He said we were there about a year, and we came back. He said the Lord moved us back. I hate it when guys say that, because you can't argue with them. It's like, if you want to argue with someone, argue with the Lord, but do we ever blame anything on the Lord? Maybe he's not guilty of. But anyhow, I heard about a young man that saw a house on fire. And he could see smoke coming from this house. And he took off running toward that house, and he's hollering, "Fire, fire!" And he runs and he gets there. Well, there's people in the house, but the door's locked. He doesn't have an axe to chop down the door. He doesn't have a fire hose. He doesn't have a ladder. He knows absolutely nothing about fighting fires. He's unequipped, but he's there. And I wonder if sometimes our missionaries arrive like that. If you notice our display back there, we have a picture of a soldier. And the message that we want to give is that we train our soldiers, our military. We don't just give them a weapon and just say, get out there and do it. We teach them how to use that weapon. We train them. I heard the other day that the pilots that we train for our Air Force, their training is worth millions of dollars. The government invests a lot of money and time into those men and women because they know how important it is. But we need to train our missionaries in the same way. Also, Ahimaaz had a good reputation. Verse 27, it says that when David learned who that was, he said, "Oh, he's a good man. He'll have good tidings." He had a good reputation. And this is good. Also, we learned that when he did arrive, he had partial knowledge. He was able to deliver some of the message. But the problem was he couldn't deliver the message that the king wanted to hear. But let's look quickly at a couple of his bad qualities. First of all, I think it's his first problem was impatience. In verse 19, he's saying, "Let me now run, right now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to prepare. I want to run right now." And we see it three different times. He's saying, "Let me run, let me run." And so he's impatient. It takes time to prepare for what God wants you to do, but it will pay in the end. And also, I believe he was independent, too independent. Now, we are independent Baptists, right? I guess that you're not Southern Baptists. You're not. We are independent, but sometimes I think we're too independent. You know, he ran right by the man who had the complete message. Cushi was the man with the message, and yet he ran right by him. Maybe he could have helped him. Maybe they could have gone together. Remember, they're in a dangerous situation. Remember that maybe Cushi would get discouraged because of the journey. Or maybe they could. The Bible says that two are better than one. And so I think he just wanted to get there first. Maybe he wanted to brag about it. Maybe he wanted to show how fast he was. But at any rate, it didn't do a lot of good. Then let's look quickly at Joab, the pastor. You see, the message that went out that day, that was Joab's message. That was the message of not just Joab, but it was the message of the army. And he was the leader of the army. And so that was his message that needed to be delivered. Your pastor, not just your pastor, but as the leading teacher in the church, and with he has the message and the church has the message that the world needs, and so he has an interest in getting that message out. And I'd like to encourage you and thank you for your concern about missions and missionaries. That's what it's all about. That's evangelizing this world. That's the reason Emmanuel Baptist Church is here, is to evangelize the world. Your neighborhood is part of the world, but it doesn't stop there. It does for many churches, I'm afraid. But the church needs the missionary. But the missionary cannot go without the permission of the church. And that's what he's looking for. Joab was busy. He had many things to do, I'm sure. But Joab knew that Ahimaaz, he knew him, and In verse 20, he admitted that he was not ready. He said, not now. You will be a good messenger later, but you're not ready. And then he was sure that God would use him as one day. How long would it have taken Joab to train that young messenger? That's what the church is really all about, is training messengers for the field. But I think Joab did Ahimaaz a great disservice. It caused him embarrassment on the field and when he returned home. Can you imagine? Ahimaaz was so proud of himself. He got there and then David said, just go stand over there. Just stand over there. And then he got back home, back to his soldiers, and he had to face the embarrassment of failure to deliver the message. That may have caused him great discouragement. I don't know if we ever read about Ahimaaz after this story. So pray for your pastor and help him, because he has a big responsibility either to send them out or to hold them back. And also the responsibility to train that messenger. You know, we talk about Bible colleges. I love Ambassador Baptist College. But listen, this is the place where you learn Bible doctrine. You might learn a little bit more in the Bible college, but you learn it right here first and foremost. Then let's look at Cushi the plotter. Cushi the plotter. He didn't show great enthusiasm in verse 21. It just says he just simply said, yes, sir, and he bowed and took off running. But he didn't beg for the job. He isn't showing a great deal of emotion. He just obeyed when he was sent. If we would just do that, that would be good. He wasn't very impressive. He was running, but he couldn't run very fast. Ahimaaz just went right by him. But you know, in verse 31 and 32, he got the message across. He delivered the message. And that's what we need. Cushi delivered the full message. Ahimaaz gave a partial message. Thank God for what any missionary does on the field. I'm sure that everybody accomplishes something. But do we accomplish what we went there to do? Do we accomplish what needs to be done? So what was the difference in the two men? One man failed, one man succeeded. What was the difference? It's simply this. Cushi left with something that Ahimaaz lacked. Cushi had something that Ahimaaz did not have, and of course that was the full knowledge. But I believe that linguistic and language learning training can make a big difference in our missionaries going out. If I didn't believe that, I would be somewhere on the mission field. I'm not here in the United States because it's just Texas. I like Texas. It's a wonderful place. But I'd rather be on the field somewhere dealing with lost people that know they're lost rather than lost people that think they're saved in Texas. Amen. I'm sure you don't have any like that around here, do you? Well, Ahimaaz had an incomplete message, and it was of little help to the recipients. He failed to do the one thing that was required, and that is to communicate a message. The missionary often delivers an incomplete message. And let me mention some of the ways that he does that. For instance, if he speaks through an interpreter, that may deliver an incomplete message. I think we might be surprised at how many missionaries in some places do that. I only knew one missionary in Mexico who preached through an interpreter. I knew some maybe should have, probably. No, I'm just kidding, but including your servant. But what's wrong with preaching through an interpreter? Well, many times, as we say, something gets lost in the translation. But the missionary is giving out a message. What he's saying is correct and it's good, but he's dependent on another man to understand that and to deliver it in the same way. And often that doesn't happen. But here's another problem. You see, when he delivers the message, that's the end of it. He doesn't know what is happening because he doesn't hear what the people are saying about the message. We call this feedback. It's very important. If you want a good example of this, and we don't have time, but go to Acts chapter 14 when the Apostle Paul preached at Lystra and he healed that man and everybody was excited. But Paul apparently preached to them in the trade language of Greek, and all of the activity, the religious activity, was going on in what language? The speech of Iconia, right? And so Paul did not know what was going on. They were talking about gods coming down and sacrificing to the missionaries. They weren't gods, they were men. But all of this religious activity was taking place in the heart language. And so the missionaries don't get the feedback. I believe speaking through a translator. Now, if your pastor goes to the mission field, and he probably has done this, but he's going to speak through an interpreter. We understand that. He's not there for life. But if you're going there to stay, if you're going there to reach those people, I believe it shows them that you care about them. What is more important to us than our own language? It's so important when someone speaks to us in our own language. I believe that we can give out an incomplete message when we only learn the trade language and not the heart language. I'm learning more and more about this. I believe that the importance of reaching the heart language. I'm reading my Bible through this year in Spanish. And I can read it, and I know what the words are, most of them. There's a few that I'm not familiar with, and I have to look them up in English. But it's just not the same. Have you ever tried, anybody tried to do that, read in another language? Some people study Greek, and they have their devotions in Greek. They're probably backsliding. How could you get a blessing out of Greek? I have enough trouble getting a blessing out of Spanish. But you see, I understand that even though I know what the words mean, it's just not the same. Someone said it's like eating soup with a fork. You just lose so much. But people understand better in the heart language. I was in India, where Brother Tim will be going in a month or two, and the people over there speak English, supposedly. They think they do. Sometimes I wonder. But they, some of them will tell you, I read the English Bible and I don't understand it. It's not their language. And if God can speak in their language, I'll tell you another place I was a few years ago in the South Pacific and in some islands over there, and the people speak either French or English as trade languages, but they have all these other languages that they speak. And there is so much religion and so much paganism among the Christians. It's scary, you know, and I think the problem is they don't have a Bible that says, "Thus saith the Lord," in their language. It's just not the same. But anyhow, the people that speak a trade language, that's what it is. It's for trade. It's for commerce. It's for business. Sometimes it's for education. But it's, if we can just reach their heart language, it can be so much more effective. But you know, that heart language is usually unwritten, or many times it's unwritten. We are so stuck on language schools, and there's nothing wrong with language schools, but that's not the answer. There's probably 5,000 languages in the world that have no language schools. So does that mean that Baptist missionaries shouldn't go to those languages? Of course not. But they're difficult and need specialized training to learn them. We can also deliver an incomplete message when we speak with such a strong accent. I wish I had time to really talk to you about what phonetics is. Get Timothy or Tim Stalkup aside and say, Tim, explain to me about phonetics. He'll give you more than you want to know. But it's such a wonderful tool in language learning. Have you ever had the experience of trying to talk to somebody, maybe tech support, or you call somebody, I hear somebody laughing. Well, the people speak English and you can't hardly understand them. Okay, what is going to keep the missionary from sounding just as bad when he learns the new language? You ever gone to a doctor before that's from another country? It's not a matter of intelligence. He's 10 times smarter than you are. It's not a matter of vocabulary. He knows the English language better than you do. What is it? Well, he didn't learn the language correctly when he learned it. He formed bad habits, and those habits will stay with you forever. That's what we're trying to eliminate. Well, we can detract from the message when we fail to learn the culture along with the language. The culture. It is so important. Language is made up of culture. You can't separate it, but we need to learn the culture, and we emphasize that so much at BBTI. Learn the culture and trying to understand what people believe. When you just give them the message and you don't know what they already believe or don't take that into account, what happens is what we call syncretism. They take the message and they twist it around, and they sometimes accept it readily, but they don't understand it. They think it's what they already believe, and it just becomes a kind of Christian paganism. And so this is this happens so often. Also, we detract when we don't get close enough to the people. They may not hear the message if we don't get close to them. And I better not get started on this, but you know, so often the missionary is suffering culture shock. And what is our tendency? To withdraw, to get away from those people. Be with them just when we have to. The tendency is to look for other missionaries, other people of our own language, and spend too much time with them. The temptation is to get on Facebook for 8 hours a day or whatever people do, and to get on Skype and keep going back home, and your heart is there, your heart isn't with your people. You're too far away from them. And like I said, I don't have time to get into that, but I think technology is going to prove to be one of the biggest detriments to missions. I think it's a detriment to our culture right now. You been to the airport lately, to a restaurant? I was in a restaurant the other day. We drove up to see my daughter in Oklahoma, and we went to a restaurant, and there were people walking around. I mean, they can't even go get their food without texting someone. There's a man, his wife sitting there, and they're both on their cell phones. They're ignoring one another. And I didn't ignore my wife and my daughter because I was playing with my cell phone. I ignored them because I was busy feeding my face. But you know, we can deliver an incomplete message when we get discouraged and quit. Don't quit. No matter what God has for you to do, see it through and don't quit. But when the missionary quits, the people are going to say, I wonder what he was trying to tell us. I wonder why he was here. He seemed to be trying to tell us something. Thank God Cushy arrived. Cushy gave the complete message. Cushy did what Ahimaaz failed to do. But you know, there's 100,000 places out there where Ahimaaz has never gone, let alone a Cushy to follow up. What I'm saying is, if the missionary fails, that may be the only chance those people will ever have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is serious business, and that's the idea. Speed or preparation? We need both, but we need both. We need that preparation. Well, let's bow our heads and pray. Pastor, would you come? And our Father, we thank you for those who are willing to take the gospel. Lord, we thank you for those who came to where we live. Lord, we are the product of missions. We were pagans here at one time before the gospel came to us, and now we have the message. Lord, help us to send it to someone else. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.